What is going on, everybody? This is Mike Hughes, and you're listening to Mike on the Mic, and everything Chicago sports related podcast. Today is November 3rd, 2023, and ladies and gentlemen, yesterday we celebrated the Chicago Cubs' 7th year anniversary since winning the World Series in 2016. It's insane to me to think that it's been 7 years, but we also celebrated Cody Bellinger winning NL Comeback Player of the Year. Well-deserved. Obviously, this is a award that the players vote on around the league, so it's really exciting to see him get that recognition, but not only teammates, but foes as well. But with that being said, talking about what we've been doing this week, where I've been, what we've been doing. This is our third show of the night. It is currently 12:34 a.m. We've had a lot going on. Really quickly, if you guys don't mind, a shameless plug just to know where you guys can find me everywhere and what we've been doing outside of just on Mike on the Mic. Obviously, you can always follow me on Instagram or TikTok at theshy.kid. We're closing in on 14,000 followers, which is amazing. But these next two shows that I want to promote are something that I hold near and dear to my heart. Two of our creations, two podcasts with two of my very good friends. First and foremost, Welcome to Mars just debuted episode 2 in everything NBA and basketball related podcast with my brother Rob Scott of Rob's Two Cents, Southside Chicagoan, my dog. We did the Ice Cube interview for the Big Three together. We've done so much more. It's an absolute blast. So check that out on YouTube and Spotify now. Welcome to Mars podcast. Mars obviously standing for the Mike and Rob show. It's an absolute blast and it's an absolute honor to work with my brother every single week. We do that show on Wednesdays and Saturdays, so always tune in live, or you can check us out on Facebook at Mike Hughes or Rob Scott, and you can find us on live there as well. And then tonight, I got to interview a St. Louis Cardinal and Arizona Diamondback, Landon Sims and RJ Yeager, with my good friend Jim Cross of In Off the Bench podcast on our show, spinoff series on In Off the Bench, Pros and Joes, where a couple of pros sit down with a couple of Joes, and we have an amazing time, talk some minor league baseball, college baseball, what the MLB transition has been like for them. You can check that out on In Off the Bench podcast on all streaming platforms, YouTube and Spotify. So definitely check those out if you haven't already. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you guys for always being a part of the community and helping me be the better version of myself that I could possibly be. We got a lot more work to do. I'm really excited about it. I'm also writing articles for Chicago State of Mind on Subtrack. Definitely check that out as well. I'm writing for the Chicago Cubs and for the Chicago Bulls. It's going to be a lot of fun to see what could potentially happen. It's going to be a blast. On top of all of that, thank you guys for just being here as always. But to get into it, we are now 3 minutes into this podcast, so let me stop self-promoting because I'm sure you guys are already tired of it. But with that being said, let's talk tonight. Let's talk some NBA basketball. What do we see going forward? The intuitions of what we see the league turning into, how it's going to continue to evolve and develop into this new era of basketball, specifically overseas basketball. We've talked about FIBA, we've talked about international basketball as a whole, but them entering the NBA. Some of the greatest players in the NBA currently are all foreign-born players. I'm talking Nikola Jokic, Finals MVP, back-to-back MVP, a triple-double point center. I'm looking at Luka Doncic, Giannis Antetokounmpo, Victor Wembanyama, who, by the way, my favorite NBA matchup in the last, I would say, almost a decade. I would say the last time I saw a matchup this good was LeBron James versus Steph Curry in the NBA Finals the last few years. But until then, man, we have not seen something to this level, in my personal opinion, from a talent perspective in a very long time. Victor Wembanyama versus Kevin Durant in game 2 of facing each other in the last week has not disappointed whatsoever. The Spurs have won both games against the Phoenix Suns. Now, obviously, I believe if I'm not mistaken, game 1, Kevin Durant was missing Bradley Beal and Devin Booker. Game 2, they're obviously still missing Bradley Beal with that back injury, but they had Devin Booker in this game. It was a close game towards the end. At one point, the Spurs were up 19 points. I believe it was at almost 20 points at some point. And then they, obviously the Suns climbed back. So, I mean, it was really a great game. amazing to see the game continue to develop. A young star versus a generational talent and easy money sniper, Kevin Durant. I mean, it's crazy. It's the Slim Reaper versus Slender Man. That's really what it is. So it's really cool to see that going down. It's really cool to see that happening. Wemby is an absolute monster. I'm even talking to my guy right now, Brian Teague, right now of Chicago State of Mind. He even just texted me, not to quote him without asking for permission, but I'm sure he wouldn't mind. He said, Wemby in this NBA is unreal. And I completely agree with him, man. I completely agree with him. And, you know, I want to talk more about him. I want to talk more about the Spurs, but you can check that out on Welcome to Mars. But today, we're talking Bulls. We're talking Bulls. We're talking what we see the Chicago Bulls doing in the future. I mean, where are we really at with the Chicago Bulls organization right now? Because I think when you really look at it for what it is, there's one of two things you can do. One is the realistic side of it. The realistic side of it, in my personal opinion, is obviously selling the core, selling off on all the guys and all the assets you can possibly get, and then just rebuilding. And it could be a shorter-term rebuild, and we will talk about that in a minute. Or option two, which the Chicago Bulls love option two. They're big on option two. Briefcase number two, open. Deal or no deal? Deal. They love just letting it crash and burn, letting it go all the way down to the wire and just letting guys walk for nothing or trading them for little to nothing once their prime is basically over. So basically what I'm trying to say here is if DeMar DeRozan starts to decline, that's when they'll decide to move on from him rather than trade for him at his peak, knowing that this team has plateaued, knowing that this team isn't going to go any further. But it just is what it is at the end of the day. You know what I mean? Like I sit up here today on November 3rd, the Chicago Bulls are 2-3, an absolute collapse against the Detroit Pistons. Zach LaVine drops a career high 51 points, which is absolutely insane to say that 51 points wasn't good enough to beat Cade Cunningham and the Detroit Pistons. It's just not good enough. That's crazy to me, especially with Debo out there, with Vooch out there, with all the guys we have out there. It's insane to me to think that we're having this conversation right now. What I don't understand, though, is how the very next night, Luka Doncic only has 18 points, top three scorer in the NBA's leaderboard right now. By the way, shocker. I believe Steph Curry's at one, Luka's at two, and at three is Cam Thomas of the Brooklyn Nets. Love to see that for the kid. This kid was a kid who came in, you know, after the trade deadline last year and had back-to-back 40-point games, and he is still showing everybody that him, Mikal Bridges, and Cam Johnson and Nick Claxton are not going anywhere anytime soon. And even Ben Simmons has something to say. He's not, you know, the Ben Simmons of old, but he's out there. He's working. He's putting in work. So I got to give him his flowers because you know how easy I always am on just giving Ben a hard time. But, you know, with the Bulls, to lose that game when Nikola Vucevic has 21 points and 20 rebounds with Luka only having 18 points is just inexcusable by Billy Donovan as a head coach. You've already been asked to leave the locker room once in game one after the loss to the OKC Thunder, where Chet Holmgreen got exposed in his welcome to the NBA. But after that, Chet's been having a pretty great stint, if I will say so myself. He's looked great. But man, I mean, Billy Donovan leaves the Bulls locker room so everybody can cuss each other out and handle their business, which personally myself, I love that so much more than guys going home and just tweeting about it. Handle your business as you should in front of people. You got something to say? Say it. And that's the beauty of it. Now, whether they retained that information and used that criticism and turned it into a positive, I don't know. You know what I mean? I don't know. But, you know, it's just good that they had that conversation. I think it's much needed. But I feel like they always have that conversation. They've been having this conversation for quite some time. And the real conversation to me today is, what is this all for? What are we doing? We know Lonzo Ball isn't coming back at any point throughout the 2023-2024 season. That is not a hot take. That is not a prediction. That is a fact. The reality is this. Tyrese Maxey and Joel Embiid are still going to do what they do. Jrue Holiday and the new look Boston Celtics with JT and JB and Porzingis are going to do what they do. Jimmy Butler, Tyler Hero, and Bam Adebayo are going to do what they do. The Cavs are still super sneaky to me. The Knicks are in the mix. That was a bar. And then obviously Damian Lillard, Chris Middleton, and Giannis Antetokounmpo are going to do what they do. Where do the Bulls fall in this mix? Is it even worth being a play-in team? I'm a big believer in this. You're either competing for a championship or you're tanking for the number one overall pick or a top three pick. There is no in-between. If you are satisfied with 500, you need to get out the building, especially the building that Michael Jordan himself built. I can't stand on that. I can't stand for that. I will not co-sign that whatsoever. If that's what you believe in, a 500 season is another great year, to quote Zach LaVine in the first game of the year. Hey, Bulls fans, Bulls Nation, let's have another great year. When was the last one, Zach? Be real. When was the last one? If you want to talk about great first halves, sure, 2021, there was a great first half. Number one in the East. And then what happened the second half? Completely shit the bed. Zach gets hurt. Lonzo gets hurt. It's just so many things are wrong. So many things are wrong and very little is right. I really don't even know what to say, man. I really don't, because there's just a lot of questions. There's a lot of questions and not a lot of answers. I don't know what the future of this team holds. I don't know what the future of this organization looks like. Arturis and Mark have not impressed me whatsoever. To start off, they did amazing. I can't lie. They inherited Zach LaVine. They said, all right, we're going to try to build around Zach. You bring in Vooch. Say, now that we brought in Vooch, now we can bring in other free agents. Because you got to have a co-star. You can't just sell DeMar DeRozan on Zach LaVine and Zach LaVine alone. So Nikola Vucevic was an all-star that year. You got him as well at the trade deadline. So you love to see that. You traded away Wendell Carter Jr., who's having a pretty solid career now in Orlando. But neither here nor there. You know, you trade away all these other pieces and you bring in Alex Caruso, you bring in DeMar DeRozan, you bring in Lonzo Ball, who you tried to get at the trade deadline as well. But we all know how that worked, and the Bulls even got punished for it, for tampering. But, you know, it's just interesting, man. It's interesting because I don't know what to say. There's nothing else to say. Listen, sometimes when you're in a relationship and it's ran its course, you kind of just have to sit down and say, listen, you're not happy. I'm not happy. We got to figure this out. Like, we can't just look at each other every single day, smile, and in our minds be already clocked out of this relationship. I'm a big believer in this. If you're with somebody and say it's like 3-4 months into your relationship and you're already clocked out, man, you gotta end that right there, right then. Because you want the distance. You want somebody you're willing to go to war with for the rest of your life. At least in this lifetime. And if you're not even willing to do that 3 to 4 months in, then what are we doing? And for the Chicago Bulls, maybe it's not 3 to 4 months, but it's 3 to 4 days, and we're already having these conversations every season for the last 3-4 years. Zach LaVine has been here since 2017, 2018. Ladies and gentlemen, that is almost 7 years. I don't know what else to say. I don't know what else we can say to say that Zach is not the number one guy. He's not going to be the number one guy. But here's what can happen. This is my honest opinion. And you guys let me know in the comments if you think I'm wrong, if you think I'm out of pocket, if you think that there is no shot in hell that this is even a decent take. Because I do understand the levels of what those players' value were. I understand what it was. You know what I mean? I'm not going to sit up here and say that it was the greatest trade and we're going to get the same amount of assets. And it's just not going to work like that. It's just not going to work like that. So here's what I think. Here's my honest opinion. I think at the end of the day, you have to look at it and you have to say, listen, we're going to get our bang for our buck. We're going to get something in return and we can't just accept nothing. Now, a team that I look at that I think we can do something similar with, especially with the way the contracts are set up. Zach LaVine is on the team for the long haul. Nikola Vucevic just re-signed on his contract. DeMar DeRozan's a rental, but obviously he is still such a huge part of what could potentially be a Kawhi Leonard to the Raptors type move. At this stage in his career, he has rejuvenated himself. You know, I look at what the Brooklyn Nets were able to do just a little under a year ago. For Kevin Durant, they got Kevin Durant and TJ Warner, because people are going to come at me in the comments. They got Mikal Bridges, Cam Johnson, Jay Crowder, and four first-round picks and a 2028 draft swap. Do I think we're going to get that for a guy like Zach LaVine? Of course not. But just bear with me. For Kyrie Irving, the Brooklyn Nets got Dorian Finney-Smith, a 2027 second-rounder, a 2029 first-round pick, unprotected, a 2029 second-round pick, and Spencer Dinwiddie. For Markieff Morris and Kyrie Irving. And then you look at James Harden Nets trade, and it's like, what are we doing, bro? What are we doing? Because that one was one of the more interesting ones in the world to me. When you look at what they were able to get in return, it was absolutely astronomical. I mean, I get it. Ben Simmons isn't the guy that you want on your team moving forward. But you see that there are just so many different aspects to it that I don't know you're going to be able to get elsewhere. Now, they got Ben Simmons out of that, and I get it. It makes sense. But at the same time, Ben Simmons at that time was a former top prospect. Arguably, many people believed he was the next LeBron James. Now, was that legitimate ever? I didn't think so. I think he had issues in college. He had issues overseas. He had issues being a prima donna in so many different other aspects. It always kind of showed. Did he have the body frame and the potential? Sure. But, you know, mindset carries you way farther. And I that's not me trying to be an old man. It's not me trying to have an old school mindset. It's just real, bro. If you don't want to hoop, you don't want to hoop. And that's what it is. And I think he kind of just got in that point where I think he fell out of love with the game for a while. And that's okay. You know what I mean? People go through phases of their life. But the point of all of this, because I'm ranting, the point of all of this was what they were able to get and how they were able to turn it on its head. You turned Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, and James Harden, all-stars, top 75 players of all time. Well, Kyrie's not, but he should be. If it wasn't for the COVID thing, I think he would be. But anyways, neither here nor there. Guys who are in their mid-30s, for Mikal Bridges, Cam Johnson, Spencer Dinwiddie, Ben Simmons, Dorian Finney-Smith, a shit ton of assets, a shit ton of draft picks, and others. I mean, this is just, to me, one of the more interesting things about what the Bulls have the potential to do. Like, I'm not going to sit up here and sell you that we're going to get those same assets, but for Zach LaVine on a max contract, for Nikola Vucevic on a 3-year deal, for DeMar DeRozan at this point in his career and what he's going to be able to do for an organization that wants to win right now, I'm very curious to see what we could potentially get on top of guys who maybe they're not huge names, but definitely are assets. Guys like Alex Caruso. I hate to say this because I love him so much. Guys like Torrey Craig, his 3-and-D defense. The guy is shooting 41% from three for whatever reason. And we're going to get into that in a different podcast. We're going to do a Pat Williams versus Torrey Craig podcast because for whatever reason, Billy Donovan doesn't have Torrey Craig starting over Patrick Williams is beyond me. That is astronomically awful. I mean, there's no words. There's no words. Patrick Williams plus minus average on the court this season is minus 21. He has scored 0 points multiple times. The man is awful. He is horrible. I believe he's only scored over 10 points once this year. You know what? Matter of fact, I'm just going to look it up. Patrick Williams on the year, because it's just that frustrating to me that we're at this point with a number 4 overall pick who had no business being the number 4 overall pick in 2020. I mean, the drop-off is crazy between Anthony Edwards, LaMelo Ball, James Wiseman, and then Patrick Williams when Tyrese Halliburton was there, when Tyrese Maxey was there. There's so many other guys in that class. I get it in hindsight. There were so many other people that passed up upon as well. But let's talk about it. The first 5 games for Patrick Williams, plays 30 minutes against OKC. He's 8-3-4. He plays 13 minutes against Toronto, 3-3-1. Detroit, he has 0-3-1. Indiana, 9-4-0. And then against Dallas, he has 0-3-1. These are all starting minutes. He's averaging 22.4 minutes per game, 4 points, 25.7% from the field, 3 rebounds, and 1 assist. Patrick Williams is absolutely horrid. On top of the rumors, and I haven't heard him actually say this, and I'm sure it's gotten way blown out of proportion because I saw the original report and how it's gotten spun out of control. He's looking for a contract in the 100 millions. I've heard 200 million. I think that's a stretch. I'm positive he would accept. Anybody would. I would. Even if I didn't think I was deserving, I'm taking that money and I'm running with it. Fuck him. You know what I mean? Not my problem. But, man, I just, what are we doing? This guy is not playable. I think Torrey Craig's 3-and-D defense provides the floor spacing that the Chicago Bulls need, especially in a clogged up paint with DeMar and Pat and Vooch. And then obviously it opens up Zach LaVine's 3-ball as well, more uncontested shots. You're not going to have as many double teams. I think it just opens it up so much. And Coby White as well, who I feel like is kind of being put in a role right now where he can't flourish. Coby White off the bench last year was amazing. Coby White was a stud last year. And I've been very critical on Coby White since we brought him in because I'm a big fan of him. I watched him at UNC. I watched everything he did as a Tar Heel. But here's the thing. Even at UNC, he was a 2. He was always a number 2. He was never the 1. He was never a true point guard at UNC. And that's the problem. That's the issue they're trying to turn him into. Jim Boylan tried to do it. Obviously, Billy Donovan's been trying to do it. The organization with Garpax and now with Marcus and, or with Mark and Arturis. Pardon me, Marcus. I guess that's a good way to make the new Garpax, Gar Foreman and John Paxson. But you know, with that being said, you have so many guys just out of position and out of place right now. The perfect starting five to me, if we're gonna run this team, and the last part might be a hot take, but I think 1 through 4, I have solid in my head. First and foremost, Coby White at the 1. I don't like it, but I have to do it. I have to do it because Javon Carter is just not it. Offensively, he's just not it. You're not going to get the points, and that's really what it's going to come down to. But here's the floor spacing, and here's the defense that's going to provide Coby White to be the best version of himself. Coby White at the 1, I'm going to put Zach LaVine at the 2. Torrey Craig at the 3, and then I'm going to put DeMar DeRozan at the 4. Now, I love Vooch, but I personally, and here's the hot take, I would start Andre Drummond. I think Andre Drummond is more physical, he's more athletic, he's more quick-paced for this fast-tempo offense. Vooch and Pat kind of slow that down. Zach and Coby and Zach, they want to fly. DeMar wants to fly. I mean, DeMar can do it both ways, too. I could also see DeMar being great in a Chris Paul-type offense. But he can also fly. He can run with the young guns. I truly believe he can. We've seen him do it. But it's just frustrating, man. It's just frustrating because I feel like you can't have a style or a brand of basketball with this team because they're so divided in the starting five. If you want to have veterans, that's fine. But you can't have young guns and veterans on the floor at the same time and expect consistent success. Because some guys are going to get exhausted. Some guys are going to slow down the pace. Fast breaks, breakaways, whatever you want to say it is. You know, it's going to mess up the system and what you're trying to do. And especially when you look at the automatics and you look at everything else that goes into it. I mean, there's so many play styles that you can contribute and you can attest into this game. And you look at it and you go, man, it's just not working. Why? Because if you look at that play specifically in the ball handler or the defender in that case, maybe nothing looks broken down in that instance. But if you look at everything else around it, there's so many different things going wrong. And I think that's one of the biggest problems is you always look at the guy under the spotlight. But where was Vooch? Did he blow his assignment? Where was Pat? Why is Pat? My boys call Pat standalone Pat. Stand still Pat. I mean, what are we doing? You know what I mean? And I think, you know, at the end of the day, it's going to be really interesting to see what happens. I think right now we're positioning ourselves, if I were to predict today, on November 3rd, 2023, which, by the way, is the start of the NBA's first time in-season play-in tournament. So that's going to be really cool. It's going to be at the United Center tonight against Mikal Bridges and the Brooklyn Nets, which is crazy because we've been talking about them all video. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be exciting. The bogus City Edition jerseys that they're going to be wearing this year. Not cool at all. Not rocking with it. I kind of get it. It looks like the sign. It's, you know, it's outside the theater, and that's cool. It's stupid. That's what it is. You know what I mean? Memphis has looked hard. Dallas has looked hard. Boston's looked dope. You know, I mean, it's just, there's levels to this, man. And we always feel, I feel like we always miss the mark. But nonetheless, I'm excited. I'm excited to see what the deadline could potentially look like. And that's really what's going to show me what Arturas thinks. Because the last 2 years, we're very comfortable with where this organization is moving forward. You know, we think we want to compete now. All you did last year, bro, was get Patrick Beverley off waivers. Don't think I forgot that shit. Don't think I forgot that. Derrick Rose was available. Guys on the Knicks were available. Other players were available, and you just got Patrick Beverley off waivers. And don't make this about Pat either. Pat did a hell of a job on the Bulls. Then you let him walk. Now we got Javon Carter. There's no consistency on this team at the point guard position. We've had a different point guard every year. Every year. And it's like, I don't know, man. Why keep Io? Why keep Kobe? Why keep Lonzo? Why keep Carter? Why keep all of these guards? But none of them get consistent minutes. None of them are consistently doing what they do. So I don't know. It's just so many questions, not a lot of answers. And I have my own questions about Billy Donovan as a head coach now as well. I think Billy Donovan is a solid head coach. He has an amazing college resume. But at the end of the day, the success in the NBA is just not equally... what's the word I'm looking for? It's not equaling, I guess, is a lack of a better word, to the success in college it is in the NBA. And he's been here for a while now. OKC days, what he's been able to do over there with a young Shazier Alexander and obviously a Russell Westbrook, a Chris Paul, and now coming over here with the Bulls, have been able to do with Zach LaVine, Lonzo Ball, DeMar DeRozan and company. But, you know, nonetheless, man, I don't know. It just is what it is at the end of the day. But I appreciate you guys for listening. Appreciate you guys for tuning in. Let me know in the comments or on Instagram and TikTok at theshy.kid what you think the Chicago Bulls should do. It's going to be really interesting to see that. I'm going to be covering them tomorrow night at the United Center for our first in-season preseason or in-season play-in tournament. Pardon me. Got to get used to saying that. But I appreciate you guys for listening. This is Mike Hughes from Mike on the Mic. See Red. Go Bulls, baby.